Eagles fans, and welcome to another edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast. I'm Chris McPherson, joined by Bo Wolf and Fran Duffy.
No longer Eagles beardly.
Very nicely done. Yes, the clean-shaven Bo.
I feel like a baby.
Bringing it back, still trying to rub the beard against the mic, and just to no avail. No avail whatsoever. So
some avail.
The world rejoices.
Exactly. So we're going to recap the loss of the Cowboys, look ahead to this Saturday's matchup with the team from Washington.
And then we The Washingtons.
And safety Malcolm Jenkins will be our special guest. And we also, at the end of the show, go back and look at the undrafted class of 2011.
Oh, nice.
And see if
you're going down.
Yeah, this will be good.
You're going down.
There are some names who are – there's a couple players still on the team.
Okay.
And then there's some guys who I just – I couldn't remember whatsoever. One iota.
I'm excited. I'm very
2011
excited.
2011 offseason.
2011 offseason.
It moves the needle for me.
So, first things first, I guess we got to delve into the loss to Dallas. And before we break into the get into the X and O's, it's very eerily similar to me looking back to 2008 when the Eagles played Arizona twice that season. They beat them handily on Thanksgiving. Eagles beat the Cowboys handily on Thanksgiving this year. Back in 2008, they had a rematch in the NFC Championship game. Everyone thought that Eagles were going to smoke the Cardinals because they beat them on Thanksgiving. Eagles got off to a horrific start, a slow start, trailed by double digits, came all the way back to take the lead in the fourth quarter, only to lose the game at the end. Very similar this time around, where Eagles on Sunday night trailed 21-0. Scored 24 straight points. And even before that, I thought the Cowboys had thrown everything they had at the Eagles, that they were going to have a monumental collapse. I was getting excited because I was like, this is the almost the best thing you could ask for. Yes, the Cowboys got 21-0, but it was going to be a collapse of epic proportion, only for the Eagles to come up short and lose 38-27.
It wasn't fun.
No.
I mean, obviously, it started on the first play of the game, which – like hurt so much because that crowd was so into it, like I haven't heard before the game in a long time. They were ready just to have an absolute party, and in one play it was thrown away, and then 21-0 by the beginning of the second quarter. Obviously it takes so much to fight back from that, that, you know, they didn't have much left in the fourth. It was very disappointing, and you know, if not for the wind, like a gust of wind, or if Brad Smith had caught the ball, I think the game turns out completely differently.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. The script got flipped because Thanksgiving we jumped out to that early lead, and Dallas really had trouble kind of getting back into it. Obviously, we fared a little bit differently. We're a little bit more competitive as the game wore on, but that early hole, just, you know, it's tough to come back from that.
And we say it all the time, it's, you know, it's hard to beat a team twice in one season, and so these last two games are not going to be cakewalks either.
No, for me, see, going into this game, I felt like the things that happened on Sunday night were the things I thought could have happened on Thanksgiving. Dez Bryant having the big game that he had, Tony Romo having a good game like he did, Jason Witten being a threat in the middle of the field. Like, all those things are the things that I thought were going to happen on Thanksgiving. And when they didn't, I said, well, the Eagles defense did a great job of scheming against Tony Romo and company the first time around. The Eagles offense getting the jump on them obviously was huge in that first matchup. But for those reasons, I thought, and Fran, I know you've thought this as well, that the Eagles just matched up so well with the Cowboys, it was going to be very tough for Dallas to win. But it was all those things that kind of just reared their ugly heads, from the turnovers to the secondary, just all coming together there.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles didn't change a lot of things defensively from what we saw against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. You saw lots of double teams against Dez Bryant, which, you know, we've highlighted in the past that they were able to do in the first matchup, and it worked really, really well. They did it a number of times, especially early in the game. They did it throughout the game, but early in the game, those first few big third down completions to Jason Witten, Dez Bryant was doubled on the outside. So those were situations that Tony Romo wasn't able to capitalize on back in Thanksgiving in Week 13, and he did a good job of completing those passes this week, much to the Eagles' chagrin. But, you know, look, it's one of those things where you just got to do a better job executing, especially, look, third down has been a killer the past 2 weeks for the Eagles' defense. Winning on that down, on the money downs, is going to be important moving forward if they want to get into the postseason.
In fact, the Eagles' offense was actually better in the one area that they weren't in the first matchup. They were 1-for-5 in the red zone. Mm-hmm. That Thanksgiving matchup could have been 40 or 50 points or more. Yeah. This time around, they were 3-for-3. They did a great job in the red zone. The problem was, in the second half, the turnovers.
And in the first quarter, going 3 and out on consecutive drives to open the game. You know, neither side of the ball, all three sides of the ball, none of them really played very well, except for spurts here and there. It wasn't good enough. And then that's why the Eagles no longer control their own destiny.
And I guess that's the biggest thing. So we look at the playoff picture. The Eagles are still very much alive. I think fans are obviously deflated. It's very disappointing coming off that tough defeat. You have all these, you know, a couple weeks ago, the Eagles had the best record in the NFL. And now they're technically on the outside looking in. But they still very much can get into the postseason. Certainly, they got to take care of business the next 2 weeks with Washington and the Giants. Again, they're not going to be easy because, as you said, Bo, they've already beat them once, and it's tough to defeat division rivals twice. But nonetheless, though, going back in history, ever since the NFL expanded the schedule to 16 games, there have only been two teams that won 11 games in a season and missed out on the playoffs. That being said, they're going to need some help. And it here comes from Dallas losing one of their next two games. I'm assuming here the Eagles do win out to finish with 11 wins. Dallas would have to lose once. That would give the Eagles the division. If you're looking from the wild card standpoint, you would need Detroit, Green Bay, or Seattle, one of those teams, to lose out in the next 2 weeks.
And the Packers and Lions playing week 17, yes. So that's one loss there. I don't expect the Packers to lose at Tampa Bay next week, but, you know, crazier things have happened than the Lions losing in Chicago. They know each other well, so maybe something crazy will happen there. I don't expect Seattle to lose at Arizona against Ryan Lindley and then at home against the Rams in week 17, but maybe. I think the best odds, obviously, are the Lions losing out or hoping that the Cowboys lose on Sunday against Indianapolis. If the Eagles win on Saturday in Washington, we'll all be watching that game very closely. And then, you know, they could lose at Washington, too, in Week 17. And, you know, maybe if the Eagles only win one and the Cowboys lose out, that works.
That's how crazy it could be, that technically a loss wouldn't eliminate them unless the Cowboys won. But I don't even want to go down that road. So let's look ahead. Saturday, nationally televised game. It's going to be on NFL Network. If you're in the local area, it's on CBS. Eagles, Washington. It was very close the first time around. But it's a different quarterback this time for Washington. We were talking about how great...
A different quarterback.
Yeah, it was... We were thinking how great Kirk Cousins was. You go back to that first matchup, seemed like he could be the guy for Jay Gruden, Robert Griffin III. It's now his team, as Jay Gruden has said. And, Fran, you've watched the tape. How do you think he performed in last week's loss to the Giants?
Well, he made some plays with his feet. You know, I think people have said that he's looked more athletic since his return from his most recent injury. Look, he's still not the guy he was back in 2012 in his rookie year, where they were running all kinds of zone read principles and he was, you know, outrunning defenders to the second level and outrunning defenders to the corner. But look, I mean, still this is what he is at this point. He's not going to be your champion of the three-step passing game. He's not going to carve defenses up that way.
Because he'll think it's one step or five steps?
Well, that's according to Jay Gruden, yes. But that's good. he's here all day.
Thank you.
But that's the thing with him. But look, they're a running football team. You know, Alfred Morris is still there, and they've got Chris Thompson, the former Florida State Seminole, who I liked a few years ago as a running back. What are you going to ask?
Is it Alfred Morris or Morris Alfred?
I'm pretty sure it is Alfred Morris. It is Thompson Chris.
That's not a first name.
But no, I mean, look.
You love Chris Thompson.
Yeah, I like Chris Thompson a lot. Injury history. He had like a broken back at one point. So, look, this is a versatile offense that's got a number of weapons. You know, the both tight ends, Jordan Reed and Niles Paul, have had a lot of success.
Paul Niles, I think. I'm pretty sure about that
one. Might be Paul Niles or Robert Andre.
No, that's not a first name.
I'm going to keep flipping the script on you so you can see how annoying it is. DeShaun Jackson, Pierre Garçon. I mean, they've got a number of weapons in that passing game.
A lot of injuries they've dealt with, though.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, and then on the defensive side of football, speak of injuries, Brian Arakpo is not there for them anymore. D'Angelo Hall, who got injured, if I'm correct, in that
in
first
game,
matchup.
Yep, towards Achilles.
With the Eagles, you know, it's... It's going to be, once again, can the Eagles execute and not turn the ball over? And you know that Jim Haslett's going to bring the blitz. You know that the pressure's coming on Mark Sanchez, so he's going to have to make quick decisions and get rid of the ball quickly. can they take care of the football? That's really the big question.
And that's the question: is can you burn the blitz? You know it's going to come. They're going to mix some things up. If history proves, they're going to mix things up against us in terms of man and zone coverages. They've had a lot of issues. You talked about the injuries. They've been cycling players in and out, and even the guys that were starters are not executing on a consistent basis. They've had a lot of busts on the back end playing very basic coverages. Whether it's cover three or cover two or cover one, there are a lot of basic coverages that have been blown. The game against the Colts, they gave up a number of big plays to that passing game that were just flat out busts. It wasn't even their receivers beating the corners. Like it was, guys were wide open. So it's going to come down to those guys executing on that end as well. And if they do make mistakes, can the Eagles execute and take advantage?
Jordan Matthews goes over 100 yards in this game. That's my prediction.
All right.
Rookie receivers have had a lot of success against the Redskins this year.
Very interesting.
Excellent.
So I think if you remember, Matthews had his first two career touchdowns.
That's right.
In the first matchup. So speaking of the
rookie, his first
receivers.
Career post-touchdown slip.
That's right, yes. Wasn't quite sure what to do for the celebration, so he just went for the...
Fell right on his butt.
Yep.
So I think it's time to lighten the mood a little bit and bring in our special guest, one Malcolm Jenkins. Our special guest on this week's Eagles Insider Podcast is none other than safety Malcolm Jenkins. Malcolm, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
BT usually plays applause for the players.
Yeah, what is going on?
Just a little zombie. A little zombie action.
A little zombie action. Yeah. So we know your affinity for zombies. And actually, you did a studio segment with us, our Crunch Time segment, a couple weeks ago, and we discussed what happened if a zombie apocalypse were to take over Lincoln Financial Field. And the players you were going to take with you, you said Trent Cole, the Hunter, easy pick. Your second pick was John Dornbos.
Yep.
Was a very, very good, a very off-the-wall selection.
Because, the question was really gauged around just the stadium, if the stadium was taken over, but that's not realistic. I was thinking more if there is a real zombie apocalypse, you've got a long time to survive, and days are long, especially when you don't have the entertainment. So that's where you need John Dornbos.
That makes sense.
That's a good one.
You know, he keeps you entertained, keeps the morale high in your group. And then, worst case scenario, you can just leave him as bait and get out of a sticky situation. So,
There you go. I like
you gotta,
that.
You got to strategize sometimes.
Are you a big Walking Dead fan?
Very much so.
Did you catch up the season?
Do not spoil this for me. I didn't watch the last two.
All right.
Since we play on Sundays, I got a TiVo everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hadn't got around to watching the last episode. Everybody keeps telling me it's amazing. But obviously due to our shortened scheduled here and there, I'm sad to say that I have not seen the entire episode or a season yet.
Well, we started talking about, obviously building off the conversation you had with Chris a couple weeks ago. There was a segment, Bo, that you hosted a couple years ago with Nnamdi Asamoah, Bird on a Wire, where he had to compare players on the roster to characters from The Wire. So I wanted to ask. I had a couple questions for you. Who is
completely out of this conversation?
Yeah, you're completely.
No, I'm out
yeah,
as
so
well,
this is good.
So.
I'll take this over. Okay.
All right.
So
I'm gonna put the headphones down and then we'll be back in.
You got to pick your Rick Grimes, guy who's gonna be your leader, who's gonna make all your tough decisions, who's gonna be, he's your guy. Who's the leader of this group?
I think he's sitting with us.
Well,
I haven't seen the show. We'll take it.
I can't be the leader because I'm a city guy. So like, I'm still learning all the whole, being outside type of stuff. I'd say D'Amico. Would be Rick, definitely.
Well, the obvious one is Daryl. You got to have a Hunter.
That's gonna be Trent.
That's an easy one.
Sense.
Yep. The next one is who's your Glenn? Someone who's brave, who can get out of sticky situations, kind of can sneak around. Probably a smaller guy, quicker guy.
Chris Maragos.
All right.
Chris Maragos.
All right. I was thinking Sproles.
That's a good
I don't watch the show. I'm just off his. Off his.
All right, last
just
one.
Just go off the descriptions, Just throw it in there.
Last one. Who's your Tyrese? Got to be a big, physically imposing guy, but he's going to be your moral compass. He's going to be, kind of your gentle giant here.
That's Jason Peters.
Peters?
Yeah.
All right. Peters. There you go.
The bodyguard. Of
that's
course.
A pretty good group. Throw Dornbos in there.
James Restaurant Award winning Jason Peters. you won too. You won the most underrated beard on the team.
Really?
Yes.
There you go. I work hard at that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take pride in it. So.
Yeah.
So, the whole zombie apocalypse thing. How did you first get into that?
I guess if I pulled some psychology move on myself, back when I was a kid, my, and she's going to hate that I'm saying this, but my aunt used to babysit us, and she had a huge movie collection. And one day, I don't know why, we ended up watching The Night of the Living Dead, the black and white version.
Yep.
And it just so happened during that period of time, we lived maybe three blocks from a cemetery. So that that just destroyed me as a kid.
Now, how old were you? Like, are we talking like 7, 8 years old?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. It's like right when your imagination is soaring. And we live right next to a daggone cemetery. But I kind of got back into it probably over the last couple years, just as The Walking Dead came out. When I first saw it, I didn't really like the show because I think I came in like mid-season and I didn't know what was going on. But, you know, Netflix, you can go back and watch episode one, season one, and go through it. And that's when I really, really started to enjoy it. And then I started reading. Then I really took off when I read the Zombie Survival Guide by Max Brooks.
Okay.
I read that book and it blew my mind. Right. And I've been addicted ever since.
In all those movies, there's always like, one of the main characters always says, "Oh, if it weren't for Bob next door, you know, we all thought he was crazy all along, and he was prepared, and he was the one that saved all of us." Do you hope to be that guy?
I do. Like, I'm one of those people. If a zombie apocalypse ever came out and broke out, I'd be that guy in his house. Like, yes,
I'm ready. Do you have a shelter?
No, not yet. I'm not that crazy.
Like, what are the keys?
I'm not going to go broke, but I'm going to be ready. I'll survive at least 2 weeks.
Okay. What are the few things that you need? What are we talking here?
I mean, it's a lot. It depends on how long you want to survive.
Okay.
So if you read Max Brooks' book, it's called The Zombie Survival Guide.
Right.
It basically coaches you through every scenario you could ever have with a zombie outbreak, from a small one, you're talking maybe 20 people, to 200 people, to a worldwide epidemic.
Right.
Just telling you, so do you want to be one of those people who bunkers in, what you need to do, what you need to store up? So if an outbreak does occur and you want to stay at home, let's say you have a multi-level house.
Okay.
You get all the water and everything you need from downstairs, put it upstairs.
Okay.
Destroy your stairs. Because you don't want people to be able to get to you.
Makes sense.
Right? And then you got to somehow have a way, whether a ladder upstairs, you can get in and out of the house just in case you got a bail. So then you can bunker down.
Okay.
Like that. Yep.
If you're on the run, then you need all your kind of outdoor stuff. You're going to need something to sleep under, something to hunt with, because you're going to always be needing to replenish your whatever, you know, your food and water, because you're always going to be on the move. You can't take a whole bunch with you. So you got to be strategic in what you do bring. Goes through all of it. It was like, once I learned all of that, I was like, I'm ready. I'm in it.
Destroy your stairs. That's going to stick with me.
That's a good one, yeah.
I've always kind of thought that NovaCare would be a good bunker to kind of, because it's got the fences around.
It's got too many windows.
All right. So there's one.
But I've already thought about it. Yeah. It's funny. It's hilarious. When I was in New Orleans, that was the main thing. I was like, all right, if it ever breaks out, where am I going to go? It was this facility, because all the doors are locked and you need a code to get in.
Right.
But they got a lot of like the weight room. Yeah. Very, very vulnerable. Yeah. It's got too many windows.
On the outside,
New Orleans must have been the worst
true.
With all the voodoo and everything going on down there.
No, that's.
Did that factor into your free agency decision? That there were too many windows in the complex?
No. But, you know, when I did move here to the city, I actually like downtown living. So, but that's probably the worst place you can be.
Yep.
For a zombie, you know, apocalypse. So I'm currently trying to map out my escape plan.
Are you downtown?
Or yeah. Okay. I'm downtown. So it's probably worst case scenario.
I gotta think that there's obviously, you go to Columbus Boulevard, there's, you know, the Targets and the Walmarts. That's where everyone's gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everyone's gonna, so like if you're in South Philly, there's all the little mom and pop corner stores and like stuff like, if you're gonna raid for supplies. You got all these little like kind of locations that might be hole in the walls that people may not know about. But everyone's going to think to go. I've thought this out too. Meg wakes me up all the time. My wife wakes me up all the time because I'm like running in my sleep because I dream about zombie apocalypse like once every 2 weeks.
You know, another thing that's not good about our facility is right next to the stadium.
Yeah.
And like one thing that I don't, you know, people do when they need refuge, they go to stadiums. Like you see in New Orleans with. Everybody went to the Superdome.
Yep. Right,
yep.
And so that's too much attention to be locked down over here. Okay.
Now, you took a survival class not too far from here. You've read the books. Where did you take the survival class?
So my wife, she for my birthday, found a survival class in Jersey. They don't disclose the location to you.
Gotcha.
Until about a week or two before the class.
Oh, they don't kidnap you and put a bag over your head.
No,
and
no, no.
Like,
you drive up, but it's in the middle of nowhere.
You go willingly. Okay.
Yeah, but it's in the middle of nowhere. And basically, they do either a 3-day camp or they do just a whole day thing. So I was there from like 9 to probably 6. And they just went through a whole bunch of things. Got to do knife throwing and show you how to shoot a crossbow.
Okay.
All kind of firearms, whether it be sniper or just a simple handgun. How to do sutures and stitches and stuff.
Oh,
you know,
that's helpful.
Yeah, they use pig
feet. That's good for parents, too.
Pig feet.
Yeah. I mean, it's all kind of stuff. So, it was fun. But all of it, like I said, all of it is funny because we say zombies, but really it's just any simple survival thing. So whether it's, a hurricane or any natural disaster, anything that can happen, just knowing how to survive and just the basics. But it's always fun when you're talking about zombies, too.
What was your apocalypse weapon of choice after taking the class? Crossbow?
I am a handgun throwing knives type of guy.
There you go.
I was really good. I was really good at the throwing knives.
That sounds like fun. Yeah.
It's actually hard to make them stick in your target because they, in the movies,
that's what I always,
they throw them and they always stick. But
a
lot of times,
half the time
you
can't handle. Yeah. How do you ensure that it, like, is there like a way to weight the throw so that
it's in the wrist?
I think it's just you either got it or you don't. It's just talent.
If there is ever a zombie apocalypse, I would hope that it is very, you guys haven't watched it, but I would hope that it's kind of like The Walking Dead because they kind of just meander around.
That is my other worst nightmare. If there is ever a zombie apocalypse and there's like the World War Z zombies.
Oh, that's game over. Yeah, right. That's
just kill yourself. Yeah. It's wrapped. Yeah.
Just
how does your wife put up with this?
She's just slowly embraced it. She shakes her head and just moves on. But, like, she's like, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, I don't know. Just open up the zombie survival guide and buy
then
something.
You're good to go.
My mom got me a hand radio last year for Christmas.
Nice.
They've all bought in.
Very happy.
So you grew up about an hour and a half from here.
Mm-hmm.
Did you come to Philadelphia a lot? Were you familiar with the city before you signed here?
The one time I came to Philly wasn't that great of an experience. It was my freshman year in high school. And I had an elbow injury, and long story short, it was called myositis ossificans. And basically, you have a trauma to your muscle, and it starts to calcify, and basically a bone starts to form.
Okay.
So, but my parents didn't know what that was. Some doctor, they
saw
it.
Sounds like you were turning into a zombie.
Yeah, I know, right? They saw a little mass, on some scan, whether it's x-ray or something, and they thought it was cancer, and they didn't tell me, though. But they just like, yeah, we're going to go to Philly to the Children's Hospital to a specialist.
Oh, jeez.
And
I brought up this really bad
memory. Oh, no, you're good. When I came back home, I'm thinking, I just went to the doctor. It's nothing big deal. Everybody's celebrating. It's like, yes, it's not cancer. It's just myositis ossificans. And I'm like, you thought I had cancer and didn't tell me? But, it got better after that. Obviously, better memories now than then.
How great is it, though, being so close to where you grew up with your family still? In Piscataway.
Oh, it's really great. I mean, especially now that I have a daughter who just turned one. So for her to spend time with my family and her little cousins and everybody, it's really good. Not too good for my ticket request, but
yeah.
But it's always good, especially being on the road. I've been in Ohio for 4 years, then in New Orleans for 5 years. So I've been really gone from home for about 9 years. So to be back on the East Coast is really fun for me and my family.
How much of a factor was that in the free agency process?
It was a factor. It wasn't the biggest, because I've been used to being away. But it was definitely a sweetener to the deal, knowing that, I could get back closer. Not only my family, but my friends, too. A lot of people I went to high school with are still around, still in the area, and I've got to see a lot of them. So it's, it makes life, even outside of football, that much better.
A lot of talent came from your neck of the woods in Piscataway when it comes to the NFL.
North Jersey high school football, man.
Yeah, I mean, we've just on my team alone, we had 3 first-rounders with me, Anthony Davis, Kyle Wilson.
Yep.
But if you want to talk about just guys from Jersey, it's a long list. I argue all the time, and I win most of the times, too. We're talking about just the guys from probably within 2 years who came out of Jersey. It's a long list with the McCourty twins. You got Curry, Vinnie Curry was out there. Cushing, Sean Green, Junior Gallet, BJ Raji, Eugene Monroe, Dwayne Jarrett. So the list goes on.
How many of these guys were you looking at recruiting, Fran?
Well, Junior went to Temple originally before he went down to Stillman. So, yeah, I knew Junior really well. But a lot of those other guys were before my time when I was at Temple.
Now, when you say you have these debates, are you talking about with guys from like Florida and
Texas?
If you go per capita, that's always my argument.
Per capita. But there are a lot of people in Jersey, so sometimes I lose that one.
Per square foot. Though.
Yeah, there you go. But everybody wants to talk about Ohio and Texas and Florida, California. I always throw Jersey in the mix, though.
So talking about the holiday plans, you and Dez before the game were talking about the holiday plans. Yeah, and
what you
do over the holidays. So
you know how you get into one of those arguments where you try to out nice somebody. You're like, I'll do it. No, I'll do it.
Right.
No, yeah, that's kind of one of those. I was trying to get him to come to my house.
No, you
he
look good.
Me to come to his house, and I'm like, no. Philly's better, come to my house.
I thought it was a perfect way to kind of, I mean, you figure that everyone's going to ask you about it.
Right.
So I thought it was a perfect way for you to kind of, address it.
Yeah, you don't never want to talk about those things, especially after a loss and, when your emotions are high. Sometimes that's when those come on, man, type of quotes come out.
Yeah.
It's never good for anybody.
What is the mindset of the team this week? Heading to, obviously, big game Saturday. You guys still everything to play for.
Right.
What's been the mindset as the training sessions get underway this week?
It's obviously coming off of a really tough loss. The mindset is really getting back on track and being where we are right now and focusing on the task at hand, because this game is bigger than any. We talk about what it is we're trying to get accomplished, and we can't let last week's failures and the way our bodies are feeling at this point in the season, and this being a short week, is very easy for us to just look, to feel sorry for ourselves and not be as prepared as we need to be for this game. And then that's how you let bad turn to worse, and we can't let that happen. We still got everything to play for, and we got to get better. So we didn't really practice today. We had a lot of walkthroughs, and so those mental reps that we get, whether it be walkthrough or film study, all that stuff is going to be at a premium this week, and because we won't get as many looks as we normally do, and we're coming against a team who, last time we played them, it was very close, and it's going to be a chippy game, and they're competitors. And
Chris Baker.
And, it's one of those, it's a division game, so it's we're going to have to get our gears back up and get our enthusiasm up, get our energy up, and get ready to play.
How much have they changed over, obviously it's week three, it was a lifetime ago. But, this team, obviously the big storyline is RG3 and, Colt McCoy. But personnel-wise, they got Deshaun, they've got Garcon, Andre Roberts, Jordan Reed. Like, have they changed at all since the beginning of the season?
You know what? Their offense changes depending on what quarterback you get out there. And I think that's the hardest thing now is trying to get a gauge for which type of offense are we going to get. When we face Kirk Cousins in week three, he's more of a drop-back quarterback. So you saw a lot of the West Coast things, spread-out formations, getting rid of the ball quick. Then Colt McCoy was in there. He can do a little bit of both, so he can do the zone read stuff, but he's also good at drop-back, where RG3 is really more of a zone read, play-action, pass-deep type of quarterback. He's not really a true drop-back passer, and you can tell when they switch quarterbacks, they kind of change or they gravitate to one of those boxes. So we just got to really get a feel early, especially to see kind of how they want to attack us. Obviously, they still got threats all over the field with Deshaun Jackson and Garcon, guys that can stretch the field. Roberts does a really good job in the slot. They got athletic tight ends that can get open. And then, Morris is always – he's been a bell cow for him. He's a downhill running back. So they've got the weapons to help out whatever quarterback they put in there. It's just which style of offense they want to attack us with.
Bill Davis talked about it, but did it look like Robert Griffin was a little bit more back athletically in this last game against New York than he was earlier in the season?
Yeah, I think so. I think at this point, he doesn't have anything to lose. And you can tell he's playing or he looked like he had a lot more confidence, especially in his throws and his reads. athletically, and he looks healthy. He looks like he's moving pretty good. You know, and he definitely showed to be kind of the RG3 that everybody expected him to be when he really first bursted on the scene. So, you know, we expect him to be on his A game, and he looks good. He looks refreshed, and I'm sure those weeks off helped him from a physical standpoint and from a mental standpoint of just gaining perspective on how to really approach the game, and you can tell.
Malcolm, how much do you draw from your playoff experience with the Saints as you guys are gearing up for these last couple of weeks of the season?
You draw on a lot, you know, because it's a lot of guys in the league, you know, you would think that everybody in the league at some point has had a playoff game, and it's really not the case. A lot of people don't have the experience, and what wins in the playoffs is totally different than what wins in a regular season. And I know a lot of the things that we're harping on now is really the turnover margin. And that's been our biggest Achilles heel all year. And we have a great explosive offense. We play well on defense. We stop the run, get after the quarterback. We got, in my opinion, the best special teams unit in the league. But the number one team statistic is turnovers, the turnover ratio. And that's what that's inputted on all three of those units. And we don't do really well with that right now. I think we're -9. Mm-hmm. But anybody who's ever won a Super Bowl has been in the plus. And, I was telling people when we won in New Orleans, we were +11 on the season and +8 in the postseason. I think when the Ravens won, they were +6 in the postseason, and Seahawks were +7. And then so if it's one thing that we need to fix in a hurry, it's that taking care of the football and taking it away.
Before we let you get going here, from your bow tie collection, is there something that we could put on Fran here?
Yeah.
It's upgraded style.
Got everything.
He's got the purple shirt today, yep. So.
Well, I can tell you as one of the spokesmen for Rock Avenue bow tie, that I'm sure we do have something for you.
Yeah, whatever your style is. I can do, you know, since we're talking about the zombies, then we got a bow tie. It's called Tango Wreck, and it's the it's camouflage. So.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, we look good with this.
Yeah, while you're chopping down zombies, do it in style.
There you go. Malcolm like Jenkins, thank you very much for joining us here.
Thanks for having me.
On the Eagles Insider Podcast. All right, special thanks to Malcolm Jenkins. This game, so we started last week off the cuff. Bo did a great job coming up with it, where we went through the 2012 undrafted draft class.
For the Eagles. So excited about this.
This is good.
So, Brian Thomas went back in the archives and dug up the names that comprised the 2011 undrafted draft class.
So, wait, there are clues here?
Yeah, of
course.
All
right.
Okay.
All right.
Are we rotating, or do we just jump in?
I thought it was going to be jump in.
Okay.
Let's just jump in.
Right. Yeah. So, first one.
Okay.
Okay. Notable name. A running back, small stature. He was a big deal coming out.
Noel Devine.
Very good.
Yep.
Okay. This is going to be a tough one. A tight end out of Michigan.
Martell Webb.
Exchanging blows.
That's
here we go.
That's disgusting.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
That was. Yes.
Finally, I didn't get it. That's the first time that you've played that it has not had to do with me. Next.
Okay. A receiver from Indiana.
Ooh. Name that guy.
Oh, I messed up on that, BT. I did. My bad. I'm sorry. It's been like 2 hours since we discussed it, so.
Receiver out of Indiana.
Receiver out of Indiana. His initials are TT. Nondescript guy.
Tommy Thompson.
He has the same first name as one of our IT guys here at the Eagles.
I don't remember this guy. Terrence Thompson.
Terrence
Tewksbury.
Terrence.
I don't know this guy.
Terrence Williams.
This guy must have not made it out of the spring.
Terrence Turner.
Wow. Oh, I do remember that. Okay. All
right. Let's go.
The one guy who's still on the team.
Seth Thornton.
Very good.
Nice.
All right. A linebacker from Hampton.
Name that guy.
Yeah, I'm just not meant to be a game show host.
Ooh.
Linebacker from Hampton.
Last name rhymes with beast.
Eddie Least.
East.
Small school guy.
Wow. You already told us where he went to school.
Did I? Okay.
I got nothing.
Did I tell you? That's
it. He said Hampton.
All Hampton, right, yeah.
Just in case you know, Hampton.
Throw
is
in the towel,
school.
Bo. Gotta keep
What's
going.
His first initial?
B. BP.
Peast.
Brandon Peast.
Oh, Brandon Pegues.
There you go.
Oh.
Very nice. All right.
Pegues the Beast.
Excellent.
The poor man's Vince Young.
Name.
Oh. I lost sound. I know this.
Oh, he's going back and forth with Tannehill. Wasn't he the first pick in the Arena League that year?
Oh, gosh. Oh, I know this. Oh, this is really good radio. Oh, crap.
Initials are JJ.
Immediately regret this decision.
Jermaine
too.
Johnson? No.
Gerard Johnson.
Yes.
Gerard Johnson.
Yes.
He had one of the best college football. It was against Texas. He led them to a huge
What are we, 3-2
three,
three, right now?
It's a night game. Friday night game. I remember. Next.
All right. Next, punter.
Ryan Tidlotska.
Name that guy.
No?
No. He actually was on the team for.
Chaz Henry.
Very good.
Oh, Chase.
Okay, next guy. The running back who could not spell his first name correctly.
Derek Locke.
Name that guy.
No.
Out of what?
Out of the U.
Oh, Greg Cooper.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Good one.
All right.
Excellent.
The tall receiver whom all fans were
DeAndre
infected.
Jones.
Yeah. No, DeAndre Brown.
Brown.
Yep.
Yes.
Bo gets it.
Southern Miss.
Last but not least.
Oh, this is it. Oh, this is so sad. I want to keep going.
A receiver out of Fairmont State, and it's a guy who.
Name
Fairmont
that
State.
Guy.
I'm not going to be able to name this guy.
And it's a guy who what?
Did
nothing?
Did nothing, yes.
Fairmont State? Wow,
Perry Baker. I'm not even gonna waste.
Yeah,
I remember that one.
Remember whatsoever.
This was after Zip Duncan's time or before. I thought for sure we were gonna get Zip Duncan in here.
No.
Zip Duncan was.
Yeah, this is after Zip Duncan was like 09, 10. Yeah, that might be right.
Well, that's a 6-2 stomping.
So nice work.
I'm ready.
You should
to
be proud of yourself.
I'm ready to defend my title next week.
So
everyone in this room. Is now dumber for having listened to it.
That's one of the greatest accomplishments in my life, I feel like.
And may God have mercy on your soul.
We should have a belt. It's a shame we're coming up with this so late in the season.
I mean, there's only so many times we could.
It should be one of those, like you know, if they make a slap belt, like a slap bracelet.
Ooh.
Like a slap belt for knowing the slappies.
There you go. That's a good one.
I like that.
It's a good one. So last thing we're going to do here on the show is go through the bowl games. Bowl games kick off this weekend.
Can't spell bowl without
my
Bo.
Revenge.
And, you know, Fran will give us some insight into some of the possible draft prospects who could be coming out of these games. And you guys can offer your thoughts on who will win.
A little early journey to the draft podcast.
Yeah, just a little whet the appetite just a bit.
Yep.
The first one, Saturday at 11 a.m., the New Orleans Bowl between Nevada and Louisiana Lafayette. Nevada's favorite in the game.
I like Nevada. I like Nevada. They got a quarterback, Cody Fajardo, who's going to go down to the Shrine Game.
This is
game.
Great. Nerd this alert. Is great.
Yep. All right.
We'll just do it one time for the entire.
Just assume that it's going to be the rest of the time. Cody Fajardo will lead them to victory, Nevada.
I agree.
Okay. The New Mexico Bowl, Utah State against UTEP.
Sorry to John Dorenbos, but I'm going Utah State in a whomping.
Utah State is favored in this game.
Yeah, I like Utah State too.
Curtis
I don't
Marsh.
Think they have any seniors.
Sadly, that's the first thing I think of as well.
Robert Turbin. That's the first guy I think of. I'm trying to think. I don't off the top of my head I can't think of any seniors at Utah State.
Okay. The Las Vegas Bowl, Utah against Colorado State.
This is the headliner of the day.
Utah's favored. Utah's favored.
Jeez, that's pathetic.
Hey, Colorado State won 11 games this year, or 10 games this year.
And their coach is gone. Well,
they're saying it could be Scott Frost. That's the newest report from Fox Sports.
They both the quarterbacks going both to teams, the Senior Bowl, right?
Both teams have good players. Both of them have players that are going to the Senior Bowl. The quarterback from Colorado State, Garrett Grayson, is going to be at the Senior Bowl. Probably one of the best pocket passers that's going to be in this draft. There's not it's not a good draft for quarterbacks, and he's one of the rare pocket passers. So he'll be the headliner there. They've got a left tackle, Tyler Sambrello, that I really, really like. Athletic kid. I think he's going to get drafted pretty high. There's a couple other guys there, Colorado State. But then Utah's got a couple guys on defense. It'll be the Senior Bowl. Nate Orchard is a defensive end. Probably would play linebacker at the next level.
How old are these guys? Utah's got notoriously old guys.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think they're absurdly old. Yeah, I don't think they're absurdly old. But Orchard, you know, like I said, is like a high motor pass rusher. And then Eric Rowe is the corner. He's a big kid. He's like 6'1", who can run. So we'll see.
Who are you picking?
I'm going to take Colorado State. Even losing the coach, I'm going to take Colorado State.
I think Keith Van Horn's the X factor here. I'm going Utah.
There you go.
Did you watch the Heisman presentation?
No.
You have got to see Eric Crouch. What Eric Crouch looks like these days.
Why is that?
Unbelievable. He looks like he sells granola on the side of the road. And that's what he looks like. Like barefoot.
Would you buy granola off Eric Crouch?
Probably, yeah.
Did he have a beard that rivaled yours?
He had a serious like hippie beard. Yeah,
so yes.
Impressive. Yes.
Yeah. Mine was just a man's beard.
We could debate that on another podcast.
The Idaho Potato Bowl, yep. Western Michigan against Air Force. Oof. Air Force is favored.
I'm going to take Western Michigan.
I'm going to take Chad Hall.
Match.
Chad Hall.
Here we go.
Like, any prospects?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head, no.
Chad
Hall.
Nightcap.
Said it. The nightcap is the Camellia Bowl, South Alabama, and Bowling Green.
Oh, yeah. South Alabama. Oh, yeah. I'm taking South Alabama.
They are favored.
South Alabama's got a quarterback, Brandon Bridge, who's really, really intriguing. Not going to the Senior Bowl, not going to the Shrine Game. Very, very surprising. But he's going to the NFLPA game out in L.A., which will be on ESPN2. But Bridge is a big kid who can throw the ball. He's really athletic. I've liked him. From what I've seen of him, you watch him against Mississippi State early in the year. His receivers did not help him out. They just jumped up to the FBS level a couple years ago. He's a good player.
I disagree big time. those receivers don't help him out for a reason. They're not going to help him out in this game. I think Bowling Green by double
Hot
digits.
Take.
Fighting Falcons.
Bowling Green by double digits. All yeah. Mac.
Monday, the Miami Beach Bowl, BYU and Memphis. Memphis is favored.
I like their coach. I think Memphis will win.
I like Darius Washington here to make an impact. I'm going Memphis.
There you go.
Okay. Tuesday, you have the Boca Raton Bowl. Marshall against Northern Illinois.
This is a bummer for Marshall because Marshall was undefeated going into the final week, and then they lost, and now they end up at this bowl. So that goes into effect.
At this bowl.
That definitely plays a factor. I'm still going to go Marshall. They've got a couple guys. They've got Rakeem Cato as a quarterback, but I don't know what his NFL prospects. He's small, man. He's like 170 pounds. So,
jeez.
Yeah, but he's a 4-year starter and he's been very productive. Vinny Curry loves him, as BT will attest to. But I'm gonna take Marshall. I'm gonna stick with Marshall.
Who are they playing?
Northern Illinois.
Northern Illinois.
Ooh, Michael Turner. I'll take Marshall.
Hollis Thomas.
I'll take Marshall. I'll take Matthew McConaughey and Marshall.
There you go.
Oh, nice! That's a Hollis Thomas.
Is that Hollis Thomas?
Wow! Like
wow!
You could hear the chin stud through the through the sound.
Dang! Last but not least,
that was not a sounder that got played. That was BT laughing in the background.
And the nightcap on Tuesday, the San Diego.
The one we've all been waiting for.
Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl.
I feel like San Diego State is always in this game.
Well, yeah, and it's always a military academy.
Yeah, Navy and San Diego State.
You gotta like San Diego State. Anytime any team has more than like a week to prepare for that option offense, more often than not they win. So, I'm gonna give San Diego State credit here.
Navy rolls Alejandro Villanueva.
He went to Army.
Well, watches on in sadness. You didn't let me finish the sentence. Watches on in sadness as Navy dominates.
Kyle Eckel. Okay,
that's right.
So
David Robinson is a happy man.
So that's a first look at the bowl season.
That's right. It's depressing, though, because
we just spent 10 minutes talking about these crappy bowl games.
Wow, college football regular season's over.
Yeah. It's not that depressing. Nobody cares about college football season except for the draft.
Fran's in mourning.
I felt a very there was an absolute void on Saturday when I woke up and there was no college football to get ready for. I mean, Army Navy's great. Everyone loves Army Navy. Yeah. You know. What do you got? This is for the ball season?
This is a weekend for dudes and dudettes. I want to see everyone come on down to New York City. There's so many great attractions. Make a long weekend of it. Let's go take in the sights. The Dude Pyre State Building. The Dudenheim Museum. The Dude 2 of Liberty.
The Dude 2.
The Dudefeller Center.
I would have gone with Stats Dude of Liberty.
Of course. Dude Square. See one of the greatest football contests of the year. BC, Penn State. I want to see all our New York area alumni come out in force. Let's pack Yankee Stadium in maroon and gold.
It's obviously getting ready for the Pinstripe Bowl.
Okay, so there's two different things here. Right. If he's asking the New York alumni to come out, why does he have to go over the sights of New York with them?
That's a valid point.
Very valid point. I think he's also assuming that there's people coming from Boston to the game. He just wants to make sure that you get the New York guys and girls.
And also, he called it one of the best football contests of the year. You got to be bleeping me. I'd literally rather watch a Pee Wee football game.
Look, Boston College has some players. Penn State's got Hackenberg. There's some good players there. Penn State's got some players. Could be worse.
They have some players.
Could be worse.
Like physical beings who play football.
On that note, that's going to do it for this edition Matt of the Tennant. Eagles Insider Podcast. For Fran Duffy Bowl, I'm Chris McPherson. We'll
Thank
be back
you for listening to Eagles Speakly. Week.